All right, guys, you are Locked On Falcons. I am your host, Aaron Freeman, and today we are previewing the tight end position, looking ahead towards what are the battles and storylines surrounding this position group heading into 2018 training camp.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman, founder of FalcFans.com, one of the longest-running Falcon websites on the internet, of course, at FalcFans on Twitter, and of course, the host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast. So, we're going to be talking about the tight end group. I threw you for a curve. You thought we were going to do wide receivers, but no, I decided I want to talk tight ends. And we're going to talk about that position group. Let's jump right in, I guess, without much further ado. Let's talk about Austin Hooper. And he's a player that we've talked about a number of times in this podcast. I'm a vehement supporter of Austin Hooper. I'm a very much one of those people that says he didn't play poorly last year. That whole notion is overrated. That's people getting too focused on a couple of drops, you know, that came at, you know, some unfortunate times, some untimely times, and completely ignoring the rest of the season and letting three or four bad plays really define a player's season, which should not be the case and is not the case if you really, really are paying attention. But all that being said, this 2018 season is going to be an important year for Austin Hooper, and thus it's going to be a somewhat important summer, although we'll explain a little bit later why it may not be of monster importance. But, he does need to play better. He does need to inspire this coaching staff with a bit more confidence and really put himself on a pathway to earning a second contract with this team and becoming an integral part of the Falcons offense and not sort of a guy that he was for a large portion of last season and to a certain extent his rookie year as well as an also-ran, as the guy that can't necessarily be seen above, you know, obviously he's not going to be above Julio Jones or something or anybody like that or Devontae Freeman, but certainly should be in the conversation alongside guys like Mohamed Sue and others as an important piece in this Falcons offense. And, Hooper is coming off an offseason once again. It's the second offseason in a row where he did get some one-on-one time working with Matt Ryan. That's a positive. It's not the first time he's done that over the last year or so. But this is sort of a good sign because it harkens back to one of the things I talked about. I believe it was on the Calvin Ridley scouting report that I did right after the draft. And in that early part of that episode, I talked quite a bit about why you have to evaluate the player. And I used Austin Hooper as an example. And for those of you guys that don't remember that episode or don't remember any of the other things I've said about Austin Hooper over the last several years, if we're being honest, is that Hooper's success as a pro tight end is going to hinge on two things. His ability to run routes crisply and be able to create separation that way. And the second thing is his ability to build a rapport with Matt Ryan. And the fact that he was doing some working out with Matt Ryan is a positive sign for that latter thing. And just sort of to touch on, like, as I said then, you know, Hooper is not this tight end that's just going to line up and beat guys. He's not a Gronk. He's not a Kelce. He's not a Jordan Reed as sort of three guys that, from an athletic standpoint, are among the premier tight ends in the league and just can simply line up against most safeties and linebackers and create mismatches. That's not going to be Hooper's game. He's not going to be that type of guy, at least early in his career. And in the way that he can become more of a better version of the type of player that he is and become the best version of that player is by being a good route runner, is by having the trust with the quarterback so that in those instances where he's not creating a ton of separation, his quarterback still trusts him to try to fit those balls into tight windows. And so those are the things that Hooper's going to have to work on. And those things, as I've said a number of times, take time. They don't happen overnight. And that was one of the reasons why the whole notion that Austin Hooper was going to have a breakout season last year was kind of overrated. And, you know, as I said then in that Ridley episode, if you had evaluated the player, you would have known ahead of time that the chances of him having this big breakout season that so many people were predicting last summer was very, very low. And it's sort of the same way coming into this season, although the chances that he has a breakout season are higher than they were a year ago, but it's not as if, you know, all of a sudden, okay, well, now in his second year as a starter, all of these things are going to fall into place. These are things that develop over the course of 3, 4, 5 or more years, not necessarily all come to fruition at the beginning of year 3. But I think what's going to be interesting, you know, really what the important thing about Hooper is this season and not so much in the summertime, is you want to see him reduce the drops, obviously. You want to see him be a bigger impact in the red zone, although a lot of that has to do with the play calling, which, again, is another area of the team that we're hoping improves. And you want to see him continue to be an effective blocker, which I think he's very underrated in that regard as a blocker. And you still want to see him continue to be an effective receiver after the catch, which, again, is another underrated aspect of his game, although I think most people recognize these things. But just because the context of talking about Austin Hooper is often so negative, people rarely point out the real positive aspects of his game. And I think, you know, if he can accomplish most of those things during the regular season, and whether he has 40 catches or has that sort of breakout year in terms of production and has 70 catches, I think the fact that he can check the multitude of those boxes is more important than his actual production. And so if we come away and say, yeah, he was more important in the red zone. Yeah, he continued to be an effective blocker. Yeah, the drops were less. Even if he has less production than he did a year ago, you can certainly say that he improved as a player, and that's going to be the things that the coaching staff is going to evaluate, which are more important to them than necessarily how many catches and how many yards and how many touchdowns he has, which seems to be a little bit more important to fans. But all that being said, that's what's going to need to happen in the regular season. And I think the point I'm going to wrap up here with talking about Austin Hooper is I don't know how much of that stuff you can expect to see or need to see during the summer, during the preseason, during training camp. If he plays well during the summer and lights it up in preseason games, great, because that will allow some of the people that have been a little bit more critical of him over the last 12 months to sort of lessen that criticism. But if you know, I don't know if I would say, oh man, if Austin Hooper really tears it up against the Jaguars in the preseason game or whatever, you know, that means that he's going to be on the verge of having a great season. Because as I said in the previous episode, how well you play in the regular season depends on how well you play in the regular season, not necessarily did you have a good first quarter in some preseason game. So I think those are going to be the issues that we're going to have to pay attention to. He could struggle this summer, and that certainly won't help, you know, the perspective of his performance. But again, I would just say, hold off on going too far afield on sort of Austin Hooper takes until we get to September. That's basically what I'm saying. So that's going to be the story of the regular season, not so much the training camp with Austin Hooper. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the reserves, including Eric Salvert. But first, I want to plug LockedOnSports.com, the one-stop hub of the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can find content, podcasts, and written words related to the NBA, NFL, and of course, Major League Baseball. Again, that's LockedOnSports.com, your team every day. The player that I think is going to be much more important for that person to have a good summer is Eric Salvert. And I think, unlike Hooper, like, Salvert isn't guaranteed to get any looks or many looks during the regular season. Even though I think he's pretty safe bet to make the roster, I wouldn't say he's a guaranteed lock, but, you know, I think it would be a very big surprise if he wound up getting cut, which, you know, the reason why I can't say he's a lock, because he barely kind of made the team last year, as we know with, you know, I personally thought Josh Perkins was more deserving of being the third tight end on the roster over Salvert. But, you know, Salvert made the team, maybe due to his draft status, or whatever the case may be. But so that's why I would say he's not a guaranteed lock, because he almost got cut last year. But it's a pretty safe bet that he should make the team. And it's going to be interesting, because you already saw a little bit of more hype about Salvert having one of those quote unquote breakout seasons this year, thanks to a couple of clips of him in practices making some nice catches earlier this month. But we'll have to see. We'll have to see, because I don't know if Salvert really deserves the breakout candidate, because we don't know how much he's going to play. And he needs to have a good summer in order to increase the chances that he does get that playing time. Because we saw last year the Falcons using that 13 personnel, which is the three tight end look. They only played that 19 snaps the entire year last season. And that's down from 84 in 2016. And that 84 is really about probably less than half of what it should have been, because they basically scrapped the 13 personnel once Jacob Tammy got hurt in like week seven, week eight or something like that, and didn't really play it again until like the last 2 or 3 weeks of the season. And so, you know, that number should really be, you know, like up in the upper 160s or 170s or something like that, as opposed to 84. And so the question is, with Saubert and as well as Logan Paulson, you know, I think how well they play this summer is going to determine how much playing time they get, and certainly how much usage the Falcons use out of that three tight end look, which was a staple early in the season in 2016 and a hugely beneficial thing that they utilized, and sort of was not a part of their offense really at all last season. And you wonder if that's going to be one of the elements that they can use this upcoming season to get more out of the offense than they did a year ago, just because they use it more. And I think what's going to be interesting is, I think Saubert has the possibility of being that third tight end or that number two tight end, depending on how well he plays. But as I've said in a previous episode, that number two role is going to be geared primarily towards blocking. Blocking is not really Saubert's strength. And I think that's really going to be the thing to monitor, to see how much more, if at all, more effective he is as a blocker this summer. If he struggles, then I think the possibility of him being this quote-unquote breakout candidate pretty much evaporates. But like at the same time, I don't think he has to come out and be a great blocker. I just think he only needs to be competent. I think he just needs to be able to hold his own. And if he does that, then I do think the possibility of him getting those opportunities during the regular season will at least exist enough to the possibility that they could get maximized enough to where he could be a possible breakout candidate. So I think, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how the Falcons use Saubert, how they use Paulson. And I think a lot of that is going to be determined this summer. You know, I think in a lot of ways, I think the one way that you can envision those guys being used is sort of interchangeably as the number two tight end. Obviously, Paulson is a little bit more polished and proven as a blocker, while Saubert has a lot more upside as a pass catcher. And I think there, you know, there will be situations where you would want prefer one to the other, but obviously you want them to be somewhat interchangeable, and you want Paulson to show that he's an effective receiver, just like you want Saubert to show that he's an effective blocker, so that things, when you get into the play calling, don't get too predictable, and you have a situation where, you know, on the plays where Paulson's the number two tight end opposite Hooper, you know, the Falcons are running the ball 75% of the time. And then when Saubert's out there, they're throwing it 75% of the time. And though you may look at that on paper like, oh, in their two tight end sets, they were perfectly balanced. But based off of the personnel, defenses were tipped off to which way they were leaning on any one of those given plays. So it's really not as balanced as it seems to be on paper. And so I think that's going to be really the key with Saubert, is can he be a capable enough blocker to steal snaps from Paulson, where the Falcons feel like the drop off from Paulson to Saubert as a blocker is not significant enough, where that his ability as a receiver, which is an upgrade over Paulson, or we're expecting it to be, where that whatever that drop off is outweighed by the improvement there is with Saubert as a receiver. So I think that's really the key, and that's going to be the real thing to watch. So he's going to be a guy that's going to be the primary focus, I think, this summer at the tight end position. We'll talk about Logan Paulson and the rest of the tight end group in a moment, but I do want to plug the Locked On Braves podcast with host Tobias Wilborn, bring you all the latest on the Atlanta Braves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. So the Falcons wound up signing Logan Paulson this offseason to be their blocking tight end to replace Laviane Toilolo. I personally think Paulson is a better athlete than Toilolo. I think because of the way that, you know, Toilolo is that tall, sort of high-cut guy, and because of that, he has trouble sinking his hips, and he has trouble creating separation when he's not running in a straight line. And I think Paulson is a better at separating because he doesn't have that sort of build, and is a little bit more athletic and a little bit more natural separating as a route runner. But one of the things that Paulson notably did last year, he did really struggle with drops last year in San Francisco. He had an underwhelming season in Chicago the year before that. And the year before that, he was in Washington. His last year in Washington, he was on injured reserve with a toe injury. So he missed the entire season. So the reality is Paulson hasn't really been an overly effective number two tight end since the 2014 season. And truth be told, he was kind of the number, by the end of that year at least, he was the number three guy because Jordan Reed and Niles Paul were there. So it's certainly understandable why people don't have that much confidence in Paulson at this point and whether or not he can sort of be that serviceable number two. Again, he's got a number of years where he hasn't really been that guy. And say what you want about Laveen Toilolo, whether he was good or not, but we knew exactly what he is. And sometimes the known commodity, even if it's a lesser commodity, is more valuable than the unknown commodity, particularly when it comes to depth roles like what Toilolo served. And so that's going to be a big question mark with Paulson. And so because of that, I think it's going to be important that Paulson has a good summer. Now, I don't expect him to light it up in the passing game. And because of that, there may be a certain expectation on, you know, he might not be perceived to be as effective as he actually is. It's going to depend a lot on his blocking ability. Obviously, if he can show functionality in the passing game, that will be a thumbs up. But obviously, the Falcons didn't necessarily sign him because they expect him to catch, you know, 30 passes this year. You know, he's going to catch 10 passes at most, and that'll be it. So I think what's going to be interesting with Paulson is, you know, I think he needs to have a good summer to prove that he's a valuable player. I think what helps him is $200,000 of his salary is guaranteed. That's enough money that I doubt that he gets cut, but it's not enough money that guarantees that he sticks around. But I do think there are several factors that make him safer, a lot safer than you might initially think of a similar player in that same situation. I think the first thing is cutting him only really saves a modest amount of cap space, $520,000 against this year's cap. That's not really enough to make a significant difference for the Falcons, particularly given that they're pretty good on the cap space currently. I think they're somewhere around $7 million. So that's probably not going to dramatically shrink between now and the regular season to the point where $520,000 is going to be this huge difference making amount. So that sort of helps Paulson's cause. The second thing is pretty much all the players behind him, after you get past Hooper and Saubert and Paulson, are completely unproven. So it's not likely that one of those guys is going to leapfrog him. If there were a number of Eric Saubert or Josh Perkins types of players that were younger but had upside, then I think Paulson might be in a little bit more danger. The third thing is, I think that any player that the Falcons could potentially pick up on the waiver wire to replace Paulson is probably going to be in a similar situation because they got cut by their teams. And so thus it's low probability that you're going to get a player that is a significant upgrade at that position to make it worthwhile for you to cut Paulson at that point. So I do think he does need to actively earn his spot, but I do think some of these things do work in his favor, that even if he doesn't have a great summer, he still should be able to make the roster. But if he doesn't play well, then I think that third thing I said, where the idea that somebody else won't be an upgrade over him, becomes less true. And, you know, let's talk a little bit about some of the unproven guys, that second thing. I'll be curious to see if any of these guys emerge. I'm not really holding my breath on it. I want to see if Alex Gray shows any improvements. He's a good athlete, former rugby player, very raw last year, barely played during the preseason. But I'll be curious to see if there's any noticeable improvement if and when he does get opportunities this summer during the preseason. Troy Mangin is the undrafted free agent, I think, to watch of this group, just because I think his blocking skills are good enough that you could possibly see him pushing Paulson enough to at least prompt Paulson to start to look over his shoulder a little bit. The undrafted free agent, Jaden Graham from Yale, tested very well at his pro day, so he certainly has athleticism. I think his blocking needs work, and thus I think he's going to be a little bit behind just because I think the Falcons already have a young, promising pass-catching tight end in Eric Saubert, and they need more of a young, promising tight end that can block a little bit better. And so I think that's why a guy like Mangin gets the edge over a guy like Graham. But I will be curious to see if either one of those guys, if Mangin shows off as a pass catcher, if Graham shows off as a blocker, really sort of see where they are at this summer. And I think both of those guys are really prime candidates to vie for a practice squad spot. Alex Gray is automatically earning an 11th practice squad spot, so he's not taking anything away as an international player hailing from the United Kingdom. So I think Mangin and Graham, both, each of those guys have an opportunity to be the de facto number four tight end as a practice squad player. I think all three guys are pretty much long shots to make the roster, but I wouldn't say it's impossible if one of those guys really comes in and starts lighting up third string defenses in the preseason games. And one of those guys pulls maybe like a Josh Perkins, similar what Josh Perkins did 2 years ago, and has a couple of highlight reel catches and plays and whatnot. So that'll be the thing to watch. But I do think, for the most part, we know who the three tight ends on the roster are going to be. It's just going to be two of those guys really jockeying to be that second guy off the bench, to really sort of be the running mate of Austin Hooper when the Falcons do employ those two tight end sets. And we'll see if all three of these guys give the team enough confidence that they'll be more willing to employ those three tight end sets this year. So those are going to be the things that I'm keeping my eye on, and I hope you guys do too. And until then, we'll be back tomorrow with talking about those pesky wide receivers. A little bit of a longer episode, but it's a Friday, so we'll go out with a bang on a Friday. And until then, you guys can provide your feedback. I'm on Twitter at FalcFans. Of course, if it's podcast related, just let me know. If it is podcast related, just go ahead and send it over to Locked On Falcons. That's the show's Twitter handle. Of course, if you prefer Facebook, we are Locked On Falcons there. You can also check us out on email. That's LockedOnFalcons@mail.com. Of course, you can leave a comment at LockedOnFalcons.com or FalcFans.com, where the show is posted daily. So, guys, that is it with the tight end talk. I hope you enjoyed it. And we'll be back with more training camp previews. Until then,
you are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.